Kim Pagano flow. Wake up, hit the dial, yeah, it's time to go. Start your day right. It's the Kim Pagano Show. She's the voice of Ventura, heart of the coast. With the good news only, yeah, she doing the most. Talking life, love, health, and hustle. Bringing in guests who flex that muscle. From authors to docs, she's bridging the gap. Kim got the real talk, never no cap. Tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. She got that laugh, that light that lift you up. Whether you're driving or sipping from your morning cup, she'll ask the hard cues, still keep it kind. Dropping gems every time that you press rewind. Community strong, she's built that lane. With heart and hustle running through her vein. It's not just a show, it's a vibe, a tribe. So tell your whole crew, yeah, it's time to subscribe. Tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And of course, I'm so glad that you are spending time with us here. And of course, my next guest is Rosemary Vaswani. And of course, her newest book is When I Press Stop, and of course, a memoir of loss. And of course, this October, Rosemary is helping others understand that although grief changes us forever, it doesn't have to define us for the rest of our lives. And I love this. Life happens to all of us in different ways. And of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about a memoir of loss. And let's welcome Rosemary. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Yeah, thank you. And talk to us a little bit about yourself and, of course, who you are. And I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. I have been writing my whole life, but I wrote for the stage. I'm also an actress, so I wrote stories when I was younger. And my husband, I want to say 4 years ago, got sick. It was very fast. We ended up in the hospital. He got diagnosed with a Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or CJD. And most people have never heard of this disease. And I like to say, have you ever heard of mad cow, which was very big in the 90s? And they'll usually say yes. And I'll say, well, that's the disease, except he didn't get it from eating meat. It was just proteins in the brain that randomly misfold and cause this disease, which is fatal. There's no cure. And it's just random. So he didn't do anything to make this happen. It just happened. And it happened very quickly. I would say he had been having just random symptoms, and it happened within a month. We went into the hospital the day after Mother's Day, and that was May 8th. I was told the following day that they thought this is what he had. And then June 7th, he died. So it happened so quickly. Every day was as though it was witnessing a year in the life of someone with Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. And it was very traumatic. I have a daughter who turned 15 while he was dying, and they've always been best friends. And that was really hard on her. At the end, I felt it was so much to process, and I knew that I had to write about it because I would say most people on Facebook or social media, they didn't understand what we were going through, and I would tell them, please don't call because he doesn't know, he can't pick up the phone. He doesn't understand how the phone works. Just call me and I'll put him on. And there was a point where he couldn't talk anymore. He was making, just one word sentences barely.
How old was he?
He was a young 56-year-old. This is a guy that went hiking like, two times a week and was just always, people always said, you're 56, you look so young.
Right.
So
And now, is this something that runs in a family, or is it just?
there is a genetic version of CJD, and that I would say like 20%, I believe it's 20% of the people who get it are from genetic, and it runs in the family, and that's horrible. It can wipe out so many members of a family, which is really tragic. But his and we found out afterwards through an autopsy of the brain that it was the most common, which is sporadic CJD. And that was a relief, but still, it gives you a sense of comfort, but at the same time,
It doesn't
it'll
change.
net
Yeah,
no, no, no.
exactly. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. First of all, you talk about moving forward can be more healing than trying to move on. Talk to us about that. I mean, when you say move on, that almost feels like you're forgetting about them, right?
Yes, it
That
does, and
kind of, yeah.
I sometimes when people when I feel like there's this assumption, especially as people watch you go through your grief, and I will admit, when my mother lost my father, I remember she came to visit me, and she was carrying this. I could see like she was carrying the weight of my father's death with her, and there was a part of me that was thinking, oh my gosh, when is she going to move on? And I'm guilty of, and I can't believe I thought that now,
No,
having
but
gone
isn't
through
that
what I've
weird?
gone through.
I lost both of my parents, and there's things that I think of like, oh my God, why did I tell my mom like that she should have done this, or why should, you know what I mean? And you
Yes.
never know unless we're in their, in their
Absolutely.
shoes. And I mean, hindsight now, but you're absolutely right.
Yes, so I acknowledged that, and I had a friend that was a grief counselor come over, and he did a session with her. And after they were done, she looked like a completely different person. She had so much light in her eyes. She was giggling. I was surprised. So I feel when you choose to move forward, that person is still with you, but you're still, and you're, and they will always be with you in your life, but you're finding ways to honor them. Yesterday was my husband's, what would have been his 61st birthday. And my daughter and I decided that we were going to make his favorite, which was bolognese. And he would make Marcella Hazan's recipe. It's like, it takes hours on the stove. And it was, and I woke up feeling a little
Good about it,
heavy.
right? Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
well.
I was, my heart was a little heavy, but as I was making this meal and she helped me chop the onions and the celery, and I said, you gotta do it really fine, chopped small pieces, because I remember that's when we ate it and at Dad's bolognese, you could see that all these things were small and it makes a huge difference. So she was chopping, and then we started cooking, and the both of us throughout the day would sneak into the kitchen and grab a bite of the bolognese, and it made me feel so close to him, and it made me remember what his pasta tasted like. And then we ate it, and we talked about when did he make this? Oh, he made it for so and so, and this is really good. I'll make it more often. And so it was so that's one of my examples, I would say, of I we didn't it was his birthday and we wanted to do something, and so it's very meaningful to do something like that.
I love that. Yeah, I made one of my mom's wine cakes and I didn't do it for so many years. And then all of a sudden I made it and it was like, oh, yes. Okay, I
Yeah.
feel good enough to do it now.
Yes.
Of course, the surprising question that can begin the healing process of like, would my loved one want me to stop living, right?
Yes.
Yeah, talk to us about that.
Yeah, my husband was such an enthusiastic person. He loved both of us so much, and he was such a family man that I know without a doubt that if I was sitting on the couch, not engaging with anyone, with any friends or family, he would be just losing his mind, because he wants both of us. I mean, the greatest disappointment would be for my daughter and I to just give up on life.
Or
And it has been the opposite. I mean, my God, I wrote my first book, which is getting published. It's on sale right now, and that's like a huge accomplishment. And that was part of me moving forward, me deciding, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make something of this. I'm going to honor his memory. And my daughter is, she's now going to college in New York. She wanted to go to school in California, and it didn't happen, and she ended up getting into the school she was meant to go to.
love that.
And I mean, her first year, the dorm she got assigned to was on the same block where her dad lived when we were first dating. And I
Oh,
just
so meant
felt
to
like,
be. Yeah. Isn't there
oh
all
yeah.
these little signs that come up? I totally get it. Let me ask you, well, we're going to talk about the things, but finding healthy outlets for grief. Okay. I mean, isolation has got to be the worst. You
Oh,
cannot.
yes.
I always
Yeah.
think even without grief, we're better together. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, yeah, getting out of the house, having your team, your tribe, your people around
Yes.
you. Yeah. And so
Yes.
many of us shut down and, and so good for you that you guys are moving forward.
Yeah. I actually had lost contact with a friend, and for 15 years, and I ran into her about 2 months before my husband died, and she became my ride or die. And she's one of these people that you'll go to an event, let's say like it's a perfume shop, and they're doing like a smelling event, and all these people are there. By the end of the event, she has probably met every single person.
I
So
have a
I
friend like that. And actually, my husband says I'm pretty much like that too. So, yeah.
It's great. So
Yeah.
I learned how to come out of my shell. I will be standing in line for a show somewhere,
And
and the
you'll know
person behind
everybody,
me,
right? Exactly.
even if she's not with me, I'll start up a conversation with them. And so that's something that I feel like my husband's death kind of cracked me open in that way, where I just want to engage with the people around me a little bit more. I want
Right.
to spend more time in nature. That has been very healing, just going on hikes, and or just going to the park and taking a blanket and sitting down, and
Yeah.
just saying yes to these things a little
Saying
bit more.
yes. the life, right?
Yes,
That is
yes.
what it's all about. Because you've lost your loved one, we still have time on here. There's a reason why we're still here, and you
Yes.
honor that too. I love that. I know that there is really no right way to grieve, but what's your thought on that?
I believe that you're right. There is no right way. There's every person grieves differently. And you should honor where they're at. But the things that have helped me, like I said, have been engaging with other people and music too. My gosh, my husband was a musician, and I have become even more interested in music. He would sit down on the couch and he would listen to lyrics and take the time to listen. And he wrote songs. And after he died, I felt like I felt closer to him because I would sit on the couch and actually take the time to listen to lyrics and what it meant. And so that was one of my ways, I would say, of grieving. Or I would watch videos. I'm so grateful that we live in a time where you can make videos of people and watch them, and just it's healing, but it's also, I usually end up crying. I mean, there's a video of him singing Landslide with his nephew. And every time I watch that video, I'm just a puddle of tears afterwards because, oh my, I'm living it. I'm now in this other phase of my life I never expected to be in.
Right. I totally get it. First of all, thank you for sharing your story with us. And also, my heart goes out to you, and I'm so glad that you're still living your best life and
Thank you.
walking through it. What would you want the rest of the world to know about you, your daughter, and the way that you wrote your book?
Well, I wrote my book in poetry, which I've
Oh.
never considered myself a poet, but I had experimented with I guess I had an incident, a day where my grief was larger than life, and I took a pen and a paper and I wrote about what happened that day, the incident that occurred. And it came out as a poem. And then I experimented with another thing, like a memory I had that when he poured a glass filled with sunflower oil, thinking it was juice. And my daughter saw that, and she, stormed into her room, and I saw it, and I thought, oh, that we were experiencing what this disease was. And so when I was trying to figure out how to write the book, my grief counselor said, "Why don't you write it as poetry? Because you've done that. You've been experimenting with these other incidents that occurred." And so that's what I did. I sat down and for 40 days, it ended up being 40 days. I wrote 40 poems, and I would just write about something that happened within that month.
Right.
And then afterwards, when I was done, I ended up writing after he died, what it was like, and then before, because everyone wants to hear about what our life was like before this disease.
Yeah.
So I'm so proud of this book, and I
And you dedicate it to him. So I love that.
yes, yes.
Where can my listeners find your book?
Right now they can find it on Finishing Line Press under my name, or you can go to my website, which is Rosemary Vaswani. That's V with a Victor, Aswani at dot com. And the information for the book is there, and it's on pre-sale until August 28th. And then it'll be released late October into November.
There you go. Congratulations on moving forward. I appreciate you and thank you so much. Please share our show with everyone and download our podcast, and I look forward to following you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Ready for your next unforgettable adventure? Join Kim Pagano and Amphora Travel Planning for an incredible Southwest journey aboard the Canyon Spirit Railroad in April 2027. Travel with friends, make new ones, and experience breathtaking scenery, premium rail service, exceptional dining, comfortable hotels, and visits to two spectacular national parks. It's the perfect opportunity to relax, reconnect, and create memories that will last a lifetime. Whether you're planning this incredible rail vacation or your dream getaway anywhere in the world, Amphora Travel Planning is here to make travel effortless. Life is short. Fill it with unforgettable journeys. Amphora Travel Planning, where unforgettable journeys begin. Text Carol at 805-415-9901. That's 805-415-9901 for all of your travel needs. Did you know stem cell injections can cost thousands of dollars with no guaranteed results? Here's a simple, affordable phototherapy-packed system that supports your body's natural renewal process. No injections, no chemicals, and no drugs. This light-based wellness technology has been studied for decades and shown to support energy, balance, recovery, and overall vitality naturally. For about $99, try a 30-day supply designed to help your body do what it does best, restore and renew itself. Many people share experiences of feeling more energetic, focused, and balanced after incorporating this technology into their wellness routine. If you'd like to learn more, text your name to 805-407-4302 for educational information. That's 805-407-4302. Or you can go to Lynn's website for more info, liveyounger.com/GreekLynn.
When you dine at Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the Santa Rosa Valley, you'll be able to take a step back in time with Manhattan's Supper Club Italian Dining. Enjoy live entertainment while eating and relaxing with an extensive wine list. Tuesday and Thursday receive a complimentary bottle of house wine with the purchase of two entrees from their regular menu. They also invite you to stop by and enjoy their heated Madison Beer Garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. Don't forget about Manhattan's private wine room. Holding up to 50 people, it's perfect for any professional or special occasion. Call today to make your reservations and book your next private party. That's 805-388-5550. That's 805-388-5550. Or go to manhattanofcamarillo.com, located right off the 101 freeway in Pleasant Valley.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
Are you looking for a reliable investment that stands the test of time? Gold and silver has always been a safe haven in times of uncertainty. At Gold Your Money, we help you protect your wealth by guiding you through the process of buying and storing precious metals. Whether you're new to investing or looking to diversify, our experts provide personalized solutions to fit your needs. Don't wait for inflation to erode your savings. Secure your future today with Gold Your Money. Visit goldyourmoney.com or call 805-323-GOLD. That's 805-323-4653 or goldyourmoney.com for more details.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And it is my honor to have Dr. Michael M. McGee. We've talked a few couple times now, but I'm excited to bring him on for his fourth book. And of course, More Joys, More Sorrows, and Where Skill Meets Soul. And I love this. And of course, we're going to find out a little bit more about our surgeon here. And of course, his journey and how he really helped so many people in his journey. And we're going to find out a little bit more about him. And of course, Dr. Michael McGee, welcome. And thank you so much for being here.
It's an honor to be with you, Kim.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about, first of all, this is your fourth book, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Great Joys, Great Sorrows. It's the fifth book that is More Joy, More Sorrow.
Oh, okay. So it's the fifth book. Okay. Okay. So
I hope we're going to talk about the fourth book, Great Joys, Great Sorrows.
Got
that's
it.
The one that's available right now.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. Okay. Perfect. And so talk to us first about really just letting us know who you are and, of course, you know, like what you do and, of course, what kind of a surgeon you were.
Right. An immigrant surgeon who came to this country many, many years ago. One third of the medical population in this country, one third of the medical staff in this country are immigrants. And I came as a youngster, very enthusiastic, idealistic immigrant doctor, to be fully trained as a surgeon within the crucible of Harvard's elite hospital systems in the 1970s. And my aim was to become not only a surgeon, but also become a scientist, to learn how to interpret information and data, and this I achieved.
So let me stop you right there. When you become a scientist, it's almost like a scientist of the human body, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so you were very young at the time when you were first had this ambition. What motivated you?
What motivated me was I was really seduced by a surgeon at Harvard who's very famous, Dr. Francis Dumont. And I was very young and I asked him whether I could join his residency program. He said, yes, he could. Now he himself is the surgeon scientist par excellence in the United States.
Oh.
He became head of the Department of Surgery at the Peter Van Brigham Hospital at a very young age of 34, and he had very many scientific innovations that improved perioperative care. Operating is just a skill. It's like me writing a prescription, but taking care of you beforehand and knowing what your wishes and wants are and what your expectations are of this operation, and then may performing the operation and then taking care of you afterwards such that you go home in a better condition than when you first came in is the skill in surgery.
I love that. I love that.
Yes.
Let me ask you, so what were some of the surgeries that you consisted, that you did?
Well, I trained, first of all, as a general surgeon.
Okay, general.
And then when I finished that at Harvard, I Spent 2 years in Dr. Moore's lab doing research in metabolism as to how the body functions. I wasn't too interested in the structure of the body, which is the orthopedic side of medicine, of surgery, but really in the physiological side. How does the body function? How does the body survive if we deprive it of nutrients? How does the body survive when we give it medications? How does the body survive long term? Because, you know, most of the operations we do nowadays can be done as an outpatient and patients can go home. But there are many operations that I did as a cancer surgeon and as a trauma surgeon where the patient was admitted to the hospital for a prolonged period of time. And unless they were nourished during the time that they were in hospital, they would lose weight and ultimately die, not because the operation was not successful, but because they ran out of the energy stores that they had in their body.
Wow.
So patients
so
undergoing
lack of nourishment.
Patients undergoing surgical operations for cancer or trauma, patients then undergoing chemotherapy or radiation therapy needed long-term nutritional support. And this was at a time, an era, when nutrition did not exist per se. So I had to go and find a source where I could learn about how do you nourish a human body. It's not taught in medical school. So I happened to be in Boston. That's where I did my training. So I went across the River Charles to MIT, and they had a human nutrition program. The only other nutrition program, human nutrition program at the time in the 70s, was at Berkeley. Now, I could not operate and earn my living and also travel to Berkeley to become a student. So I became a student at MIT, and after 3 years of rigorous training, where I went to MIT classes in the morning, and then operated my elective cases in the afternoon and any emergencies that I had to do in the evening, that I felt I was a rounded surgeon.
Wow. So let's go back to nourishing your patients before you do surgery. You know, it's interesting. I had another interview several months ago, and she was an ER nurse. And the doctors all came in and said, why are your patients so, you know, I guess you would say motivated and got up faster than most others. And she said that she made sure that one, it was a mindset and that they were eating properly and that they were, so it kind of goes inside with what you're saying.
Yes.
What happens if they're on medication and they start to get maybe iron deficiency or any of those? What would you suggest?
Well, a lot of the medications we take do interfere with the nutrients we take, and iron is a prime example. But I think a more important example in women is folic acid, because folic acid is absorbed high up in the GI tract, and many of the medications are absorbed there too, and they bind to the folic acid in our food so that the female patient does not get sufficient folic acid from the food she's eating. So ultimately she becomes deficient in folic acid, and that leads to interference within the immune system. It interferes with wound healing. It interferes, makes them tired and fatigued, and therefore they lack motivation. So this is we need to approach a surgical patient, particularly a complex surgical patient, in a holistic way. Make sure that before the operation, we talk to them and know what they're going to undergo and what. Particularly, I'm interested as a breast surgeon. I was particularly interested in knowing what is the importance of the breast to you as the human being. Okay. Many elderly folks would say, well, if it's cancer, just remove it. I don't want anything to do with it. Others, and I was part of that national trial where we did just remove the lump and we did radiation or chemotherapy, depending on what stage in their life cycle they were. We would give them nutrition to help them along, because when you get radiation, be it to the stomach or the GI tract or the colorectal area, you lose your appetite. Chemotherapy makes you lose your appetite, and therefore you tend to lose weight. And I got into this field primarily because we operated on a patient and he had an orthopedic problem as well. And he was admitted to the orthopedic service. And after 30 days, this 18-year-old muscular kid died because he had not been given nourishment. Now, it's not good enough to say, here's a house diet, eat it, because you lose your appetite. So one has to give them intravenous nutrition, which consists of the essential amino acids, which consists of glucose and fat, because most of our diet is really fat. And the only time we eat sugar and protein, maybe at Halloween. The rest of the time, we eat a healthy diet that contains about 50% fat and 20% protein and 30% carbohydrates.
So what? Okay, now this is very interesting, first of all. And for our listeners that are just tuning in with us, we're talking to Dr. Michael M. Magid. This is his fourth book, but you're coming out with your fifth book, right?
Right.
And
yes.
And of course, this book is about more joys and more sorrows, where skill meets soul. And of course, we're talking about your surgery, and you are a famous surgeon, and I'm honored to have you on here. You've done so much studies on this, but this is kind of a different avenue about the food that we eat, and especially in a time right now that we are learning so much about our food, the colors that are in our food. Just in a simple explanation, could you tell us what would be in a day that you think would be a good meal?
Well, that depends really on our culture.
Okay.
You know, I was born in Egypt and I lived in Germany and went to medical school in England before I came to Boston to train. But I still like to eat for breakfast what I was raised as a kid in Egypt, and that is flava beans, which are boiled, which are slowly cooked, simmered overnight.
Okay.
And then in the morning they are soft. And flava beans do not have the amino acid which causes gas. A lot of our population don't like to eat beans because of that embarrassing situation. However, flava beans are one of those beans that doesn't cause that.
Okay.
So I eat that together with, you mix it with oil and with feta cheese, or you can put a boiled egg into it, or any kind of protein that you like. And I eat that with a piece of bread and a cup of coffee.
Okay.
So that's what I eat for lunch, for breakfast, excuse me. As a surgeon, I generally didn't have lunch because
the minute
you step out of the operating room to have lunch, somebody else will take your room and you will be very delayed.
Oh, okay.
So then you come home, and I think our habit of eating so late at night is not the healthiest. We need to eat perhaps no later than 4 o'clock. Or what I learned in Europe is they have their main meal at lunchtime and then something light in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be the general approach to our nourishing ourselves.
Right. Now, what's your thought on oil and meat? What's your thought on that?
Well, I love a steak.
Okay.
But a steak really should be no more than about the size of your palm. That's about 4 to 6 ounces.
Okay.
No more than that. Primarily because meat is, if it's tender, it is ribbled with fat. And it is this fat that can cause heart disease. So one wants to limit that to maybe an ounce twice a week, if you want to avoid that heart problem, and eat a healthy vegetarian, what is now called a Mediterranean diet, which there are so many wonderful vegetables that can be eaten. And, you know, as a kid, I hated vegetables.
Isn't that funny?
It was an ongoing battle with my parents. But as I grew older, I absolutely love vegetables, from benign as salads to as wonderful as artichokes and asparagus and Brussels sprouts. Things I did not like as a kid.
Now, it's interesting. I did have a heart problem, and my doctor told me never to eat meat again. What's your thought on that?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a really tough one. But, you know, you can get all your protein. There are members in my family who are vegetarians, and they live off. There are well-known vegetarian balanced diets, which provide you with all the essential amino acids that you require, which you would find in meat. So by eating a vegetarian diet, you can get all the healthy nutrients that you really require.
Right.
It's a matter of doing the books on it. The internet is full of it. And it's a matter of adjusting one's lifestyle.
Right, exactly. Let me ask you a question. Going back to your book, the experience in America medical field differed than that in London. What's your thought on that?
Yes. You know, in England, the value was precision, discipline, detachment, and there was a lot of hierarchy and tradition. We don't do it this way because for the last 50 years or 100 years, it's always been done this way. However, when you come to America, you find it's a faster moving, more competitive. Innovation plays a crucial role. First, like when I first came to the United States, they were into developing hip joints. Now we have joints for every joint, an artificial joint for every possible joint in our body. And so it is quicker, it's more demanding. There's competence and there's endurance. And of course, with endurance comes fatigue, but one has to learn to push through the fatigue, remembering all the time that the aim of operating is to serve the patient's interests at its best. It is not a matter of ego. It's not a matter of it's science versus compassion. The patient's welfare must come always first, and that is what surgery is about in the United States.
I love it. And how does your book emphasize resilience and empathy? I know that that's a huge thing for you.
Yes.
And what are we going to find in your book about that?
Well, resilience is the ability to recover quickly from difficult situations. You know, that's how you become tough. But there are two aspects of resilience. There's a mental aspect to it and an emotional aspect to it. And you have to learn to cope mentally and emotionally. When there's a crisis, you return to pre-crisis level as quickly as possible, because we're dealing with a patient. This is not the time to have a meltdown and cry. You get on with the job, and then afterwards you can collect your team and say, okay guys, what went wrong or what did not go as well as we planned it? and how can we improve it so that next time this is not repeated? And that is the essence of examining what one has done after an operation.
So almost like regrouping, right? And restart.
Yes.
And so, but you never let the patient know that there's anything going on, right?
No, I am not of that. I'm not of that philosophy. I do believe one has to be truthful with the patient, however hard the truth is. And I'll tell you why. The patient comes to you because they trust you. They place their life in your hands.
100%.
And so there is no point in telling them everything went fine, and then they discover later on that something didn't go fine. And it's usually these cover-ups that create more problems in our society than if you tell a patient. And there have been studies done where patients have been told complications occur. I will give you an example. I had a patient who, because of a mishap, his heart stopped. And it was because the wrong drug was given during anesthesia. And we continued to resuscitate this patient until he came back to life. And after that happened, I said to my team, I'm scrubbing out to tell the family about this. And I went to tell the family, and I expected all hell to break loose. But you know what they said? Thank you for telling us, and thank God he's alive.
That's wonderful. So there you go. So the honesty, I mean, as a patient, I would want to know if there's something didn't go right, correct?
Correct.
And you would too.
You're entitled to it. It's your body.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you a question. This has been so interesting, first of all. Are you still practicing?
No, I am now 82, believe it or not.
Oh, you look so young. And how long ago did you stop?
I stopped practicing in my mid-50s because my wife developed Alzheimer's. And I came home to disasters, and I realized that my number one priority, my marital commitment, was to take care of her. And so I did that for 5 years. I had a nurse helping us at home. And then when eventually she needed to go to more care, that's when I, after I got over my depression and my sadness and my grief, I decided to sit down and write. And by the way, Kim, in taking care of her, I had my first heart attack, because being the only caregiver is a very taxing enterprise. And I was rushed to the hospital, and they put a stent into my heart, and I felt a million times better. So that as I was sitting in the ICU, I thought, wow, I feel great. I feel alive again. So I got out my laptop and realized, I said, my kids don't know. My kids do know, but my grandkids, born in America, raised in America, have a vague idea of my origins and of what my life is. Not the formality of my life, but the essence of my life. So I opened my laptop and started writing my first story. And the doctor came along and said, he was doing rounds. He said, what are you doing? I said, I am working, because that is the essence of my life. And he said, no, you're supposed to be in bed resting. So I said, you know, if I go back to bed and rest, I'll have more stress than if I continue living my usual lifestyle.
I call it living your best life, right? I mean,
that's correct.
Living your best life, sharing all of your dreams and all of your expertise in all your areas. I love that.
Yes. Yes.
Love that. Let me ask you, have you ever written about all of your the nourishment and how to keep your body going?
That is not in the one I'm finishing now, but in the next book, because each book is written chronologically.
It's
called
Now I Know You.
the series is called A Surgeon's Tale, and they're all available. And it's the transformation of a young guy into a surgeon and how he then grows. You see, I believe in surgery that you own your education. You are responsible for your own education. You have to keep reading and learning and growing. And there's no, so that occurs sequentially. So although each book is a separate story, they are all interconnected and they're interwoven with my own personal life, mm-hmm. my medical life, and my and the lessons I learned from the nurses, the lessons I learned from the patients, and the lessons I learned from our continued educational system, and of course, one's life's lesson as an adult.
Love it. I love it. I can't wait to read these. How do my listeners find you? And I want you to keep coming back because I feel like I learned a lot more today than even the last time. And so this is so interesting. And I thank you so much for, you know, sharing your life with us. And you know, it's interesting. Like I remember my grandmother, I loved her so much. And both my parents I've lost now. And the stories that...
My apologies.
Thank
yes.
you. And that the stories that they share, you know. And I think that you don't want that to go away. You want to share it. So I can...
Yes. Yes. And I can be found on my website, which is Michael McGeed, all one word, at Gmail. Excuse me. MichaelMcGeed.com. .com. Excuse me. I just lost
right.
it there for a
minute. That's all right. Yeah. .com. And, yeah. And of course, you're going to be in our newsletter for our listeners that are just tuning in. If you're driving, don't pull over. Don't try to take a note or anything. This will be in our, it will be in our newsletter and also throughout our social. And I love that we got a chance to really speak and go a little bit deeper into your life. And thank you again for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. Download our podcast so you can share it with everyone. And I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
You got it. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ready for your next unforgettable adventure? Join Kim Pagano and Amphora Travel Planning for an incredible Southwest journey aboard the Canyon Spirit Railroad in April 2027. Travel with friends, make new ones, and experience breathtaking scenery, premium rail service, exceptional dining, comfortable hotels, and visits to two spectacular national parks. It's the perfect opportunity to relax, reconnect, and create memories that will last a lifetime. Whether you're planning this incredible rail vacation or your dream getaway anywhere in the world, Amphora Travel Planning is here to make travel effortless. Life is short. Fill it with unforgettable journeys. Amphora Travel Planning, where unforgettable journeys begin. Text Carol at 805-415-9901. That's 805-415-9901 for all of your travel needs. Did you know stem cell injections can cost thousands of dollars with no guaranteed results? Here's a simple, affordable phototherapy packed system that supports your body's natural renewal process. No injections, no chemicals, and no drugs. This light-based wellness technology has been studied for decades and shown to support energy, balance, recovery, and overall vitality naturally. For about $99, try a 30-day supply designed to help your body do what it does best, restore and renew itself. Many people share experiences of feeling more energetic, focused, and balanced after incorporating this technology into their wellness routine. If you'd like to learn more, text your name to 805-407-4302 for educational information. That's 805-407-4302. Or you can go to Lynn's website for more info, liveyounger.com/GreekLynn.
When
you dine at Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the Santa Rosa Valley, you'll be able to take a step back in time with Manhattan's Supper Club Italian Dining. Enjoy live entertainment while eating and relaxing with an extensive wine list. Tuesday and Thursday receive a complimentary bottle of house wine with the purchase of two entrees from their regular menu. They also invite you to stop by and enjoy their heated Madison Beer Garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. Don't forget about Manhattan's private wine room. Holding up to 50 people, it's perfect for any professional or special occasion. Call today to make your reservations and book your next private party. That's 805-388-5550. That's 805-388-5550. Or go to manhattanofcamarillo.com, located right off the 101 freeway in Pleasant Valley.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
Are you looking for a reliable investment that stands the test of time? Gold and silver has always been a safe haven in times of uncertainty. At Gold Your Money, we help you protect your wealth by guiding you through the process of buying and storing precious metals. Whether you're new to investing or looking to diversify, our experts provide personalized solutions to fit your needs. Don't wait for inflation to erode your savings. Secure your future today with Gold Your Money. Visit goldyourmoney.com or call 805-323-GOLD. That's 805-323-4653 or goldyourmoney.com for more details.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, download our podcast, and that is the Kim Pagano Show. Also, make sure that you're getting our newsletters every Friday. If you haven't, just text us at 805-419-0008 and just put newsletter. And of course, just enjoy our guests and our sponsors, and we just are so grateful to be here. Again, I always leave our show with a moment of happiness, and today's is, success is the sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out. And of course, it's all about the frequency. Have a great rest of your day and weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.